we just love you. We thank you for your blessings, God, and lots going on in the world around us. Lord, I just pray that you just, as we stay sheltered, that you keep us sheltered within your wings, O Lord. That you are honored today. Lord, just move on our hearts. Lord, move on our minds, Lord. Just be glorified.
There is power.
break every chain, break every
I will give my fear.
I will call into God and there's no other. I am God and there is none like me. Isaiah 46:9.
I'm
salvation from his hand, for the healing of unwrapped. Let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and just comforts us, Lord, in these times, Lord. Let us pray that you continue to do that. Those who are at home by themselves, they're sheltered alone, Lord, we remember them this morning. Lord, just be with them, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that they are not alone. Lord, I just pray for those who have loved ones that are sick. Dear God, and lift them up. I pray that you touch and heal them, Lord. I pray for those who are watching that have loved ones in rehab centers or nursing centers, Lord. I just pray that you would comfort those hearts who are missing their loved ones that they can't go and visit. Lord, I pray for those who are sick with the COVID virus, Lord, that are in these centers or in the hospitals, Lord. Some of us may not know of anyone, but we do in this family. We know several, Lord, that are ill. We know one family who's lost a mother to COVID. Lord, we pray for your grace and your hand of comfort to touch those today, Lord. Lord, let's pray for the rest of this online service, Lord, that it would go without glitches, Lord, and that that you would minister through Pastor Kurt as he gives the message today. Lord, we just long for the day that we can be together and worship together in body and flesh, Lord. But, Lord, we appreciate what we have. We're grateful for what we have, Lord. And we thank you.
Let's get started this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll go to the word. Lord, I thank you so much for watching over us and for blessing us. Lord, you have, even in this time of pandemic, poured out your blessing in our lives in so many ways. Lord, there's been so many positive things that have happened in the last 6 or 8 weeks. So much growth, so much new and exciting things that have come out of this. Lord, I thank you for that, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us wisdom and discernment as we move forward during this unprecedented time. Lord, would you continue to strengthen us? Fill us with joy and encouragement and peace, Father God, and let your love flow through us. Lord, I pray for our time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just make your presence known in every living room and family room, Lord, across the nation, wherever this is being viewed, Father God. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would descend on people right where they're at, minister to them, and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week was Mother's Day, and we trust that you had a beautiful celebration with Mom last week. Because it was Mother's Day, we took a little bit of a detour or a break from our discussion on wisdom. Today, we're going to return to our topic of wisdom, and we're going to go back to Proverbs, which is where we've been talking about wisdom, because there is so much to learn, so much to uncover from the book of Proverbs regarding wisdom. It truly gives us a picture of what a wise, godly individual looks like. We are going to start with a quick refresher this morning. It's been a few weeks, so let me just kind of give you an overview of where we've been so far. We first talked about and compared our life journey to that of a long road trip, knowing that we have a destination in mind, but we find ourselves making some stops at various places along the way, places we may or may not be familiar with. Sometimes we're at places we would rather not even be. We talked about how on a road trip you need a map or a GPS to get you through those different stops onward to your ultimate destination. And we likened the Word of God to the map and the Holy Spirit to that of the GPS in our lives. We had an understanding that we would not be able to make successful trips or reach our destination successfully without adhering to the guidance and the wisdom and the direction we get from that map and from the Holy Spirit that's provided along our journey. True wisdom comes as we do the will of God. That's truly where we find the wisdom that we need and that we seek. As we pursue Him, as we pursue His direction in our lives and look at what He has for us, He gives us everything we need for each and every turn that we make. We find ourselves facing decisions every day. I mean, those decisions that are out there require us to make a choice. There's just no question. Each day, something comes along, and we have to choose what we're going to do with what we are given for that day. And unless we are seeking God, unless we are seeking wise counsel from Him, we're not going to know which way to turn. It's only as we seek Him and trust in Him do we get clear direction as to which way we are to go each day of our lives. We looked at the book of James, and it tells us that even in the midst of trials, we should be asking God for wisdom. The God who gives generously, gives without finding fault. At all times, we should be seeking Him, and He truly will give us the wisdom we need. We talked about King Solomon and the unique gift that he was given. God had given Solomon the opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted, anything at all. And Solomon chose to ask for discerning heart or for wisdom. And God not only gave it to him, he gave it to him in an incredible way. It was not just some simple wisdom, it was wisdom like no one else had ever known. Let me read for you 1 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs numbered 1,005. That is incredible wisdom, all because he asked God for that discerning heart. When we were done discussing that, we turned to James, and we looked at a couple of specific verses in James that really painted a picture of what a wise man looks like. Let me read those for you this morning. James chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's a beautiful portrait that James painted for us of what a wise man looks like. It might be a different picture than you were expecting, though. It might be a different view or a different image than you have ever thought of or held before in regards to wisdom. So we talked about where we could get more detail of wisdom and understand it greater. And of course, we turned back to the book of Proverbs, the book that contains many of the God-given sayings and insights that were spoken by King Solomon. A few weeks ago, we talked about the character of a wise man as outlined in that book of Proverbs. We looked through characteristics like his teachability, his desire to seek righteousness and flee wickedness. We talked about the wise man being one who has a healthy fear of the Lord and understands humility. We also talked about a wise man being one who is self-controlled and does not act rashly. And lastly, we said a wise man is not vindictive, but indeed is forgiving. Those were the elements that we covered of a wise man's character just a couple of weeks ago. So that brings us up to our today and up to the next discussion we're going to have regarding a wise man and what a wise man looks like according to Proverbs. And let me remind you again before I go any further. You'll hear me quite often use the word man or him as we're talking about wisdom. Please understand, this is not a gender-based issue. God gives wisdom equally to men and women. There is no question about that whatsoever. When you hear me say man or him, I'm referring to mankind in general. I am not segregating between genders. So please understand that as we move forward this morning. Excuse me. Today we're going to start to take a look at the relationships of a wise man. Again, Book of Proverbs is where we're going to find all of this outlined, but we'll start today with looking at relationships of a wise man. What do some of these relationships look like? Well, of course, we're going to start this morning with the most important relationship, and that being the relationship with the Lord. We had already talked about the fact that man needs to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 told us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To understand our relationship with the Lord is understanding our position with the Lord. That relationship is critical to seeking and understanding the wisdom that he has for us. But know that that fear of the Lord is simply the starting point. Look at what the text just said. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to know that, yes, he has called us. Yes, he has freed us. Yes, he has forgiven us. But we are still subject to him. We still have to understand how humility and our position in our relationship fits in with the Lord. From there, we're going to move on to probably the most key point. In fact, it is the most key point in our relationship with the Lord. And that is trust. It is absolutely critical that we trust the Lord. That is a key element in our relationship with him. Let me read Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 16:20. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? And to trust with all of your heart, what does that look like? First of all, understand that trust is a very precious commodity. Earning trust, breaking trust, they can all have drastic effects on our relationships. Many of you know I am a fan of the show Survivor. And yes, I know it's a reality show, but I'm a fan of the show Survivor. If you're not familiar with it, let me explain it briefly to you this morning. A group of people, 15, 20 people, are taken to an island somewhere usually, and they are left to live in some extreme outdoor conditions with very few provisions for 39 days. In the midst of this time out there, they get involved in different competitions, and most of them have to do with endurance, but they get involved in competition. And those competitions reward them with things like extra food or safety. Every so often during the season, a group of people get together and they vote one of the people off of the island or out of the show. Now the twist is at the end, many times that person that's been voted out gets to come back and be a part of making the decision of who wins, who actually becomes the sole survivor in this group. There are many elements that are involved in here. There's strength, there's athleticism, there's competitiveness. All those are a part of this show. But there's also a social relationship between these people that develops over these 39 days. And that social side is very key to them winning this particular show. The most difficult part of that social relationship is knowing who to trust and when to trust them. That one piece, that trust, that one element is so hard for each of them to work through during their time away. But they also have had difficulty with it being a lasting problem that affects them far beyond their time on the show. See, some of the past winners have come back and they have admitted that even after the game, when everything was over, they were back home, back to their normal life, so to speak, they still had a hard time knowing who to trust and when to trust them, even all the way down to their family and their spouses. Trust is such a huge issue. They had to relearn what it means to put their trust in someone. Trust, it's so incredibly critical in relationships, in our lives. And I think if we were to look around, if we were to ask, if we were to take a survey, we would find that trust is knowing that someone will never let you down. Trust means knowing that someone will never hurt you. Trust means knowing that the person you're putting your trust in will never abandon you or leave you alone. Trust is incredibly essential in any relationship if that relationship is going to survive. Doesn't matter if it's a friendship, a partnership, even into a marriage relationship. Trust is key. It has to be held in incredibly high value. So the word said, for us to gain wisdom, we must trust the Lord. Trust Him in everything. We have to know that He is there for us. We have to know, according to His word, that He has His very best in mind for us. We have to know, we have to trust that He is never going to leave us or forsake us. We have to trust in the truth of God's word. We need to know that no matter what, He is by our side. And He is always 100% of everything that we need Him to be in our lives. Trust is key. The proverb that we read, 3:5, that proverb didn't just say to trust Him. It said that we need to trust Him with all of our heart. What does that look like? How do we trust with all of our heart? The best way I've ever understood to explain this is by looking at how we trust in other things around us, because they give us an example of where we put our trust. This may sound a little strange, but bear with me. One example would be, do you carry oxygen with you everywhere you go? Or do you trust that there's air for you to breathe? Or how about right now, right where you're at? Did you inspect that chair or that couch before you sat down in it? Or did you trust that it was going to hold you up when you sat down? See, we do those kind of things, and many others, every day of our lives without ever even thinking about them. We just simply know that they're there. We simply know that they work. We simply know that they are going to be what we expect them to be. That's what our trust in the Lord needs to look like. That's what it means to trust with all of your heart. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to inspect it. We simply know that He is faithful and true, that He is our provider, that He is right, that His word is truth and clear. We just need to know and accept it and trust it like we trust so many other things. It needs to become natural to us, if you'll allow me to say it that way. It has to occur without us even thinking about it. You know, there's an old saying out there. It goes something like this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It truly needs to be that simple to a degree. We trust Him because we know He is true. We trust Him because we know He is trustworthy in all things. We don't have to wonder about it or think about it or ponder it or even pray through it. We just know it is correct and we can trust Him. Now, none of that's going to happen if we don't know Him. So certainly we need to have that relationship with Him so that we can trust Him. One more thing about Proverbs 3:5 before we move on from there, and that's the "and" statement that's a part of Proverbs 3:5. Let me read it to you again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Not only are we to trust the Lord unconditionally with everything, we are to do so even if it never makes sense to us. Even if we don't understand what's going on at that given moment. Even if we don't know why something is happening or why we're in the situation that we're in. We need to trust Him. Even if we don't know how long something is going to last. For example, like being sheltered in place during a pandemic. Nobody expected this. Nobody was prepared for this. Nobody has the right answers in all of this. But as believers in Jesus, we have got to trust the Lord at this time. Trust that He will provide. Trust that He will protect. Trust that He will lead. We must place our trust in Him, even if we don't understand everything that is going on. Many of us have been in situations in our past that are similar. We don't know why we're in a situation or what has caused us to be where we're at. But we must trust that the Lord will lead us through that given situation. Now, obviously, we need to be looking at that roadmap, listening to that GPS. We can't just wander off doing our own thing. We need to acknowledge Him, as we talked about before, and we need to trust that He is going to see us through. Remember, wisdom is not about knowledge. They are two very different things. In fact, the knowledge tells us that there's oxygen all around us. It's the wisdom that prevents us from carrying a respirator with us everywhere we go. Wisdom and knowledge are two very different things. The wise man is so trusting in the Lord that he would rather accept what God is doing without ever understanding it than to trust in himself and all the worldly knowledge that he could ever gain. We spent quite a bit of time on this one element this morning, this idea of trust in a wise man's relationship with the Lord. We did that because trust is the key. Everything else wraps around our trust in Him. In his relationship with the Lord, the wise man is very mindful of the Lord as well. Proverbs 3:6, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Without our map, without our GPS, we would get off course so quickly and be lost so fast and maybe not even realize it. But as we trust Him, as we call out to Him, He keeps us safe and He keeps us on that straight and narrow path. He does that as we acknowledge Him, as we confess in Him that He is our strength, that He is our hope, that He is our absolute everything. Just like that worship song we sung this morning, He needs to be our everything, and we need to acknowledge that. He gives us direction. He sees us through. He gives us joy. He is our strength. He gives us forgiveness and love. It all comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will guide us on that straight and narrow, stop us from wavering to the right or left, but help us to move forward on this journey through life, keeping focused on that destination as we acknowledge Him and as we put our trust in Him. Understand something this morning. Wisdom is not only a gift. Wisdom is an incredibly valued treasure, something far greater than anything else life has to offer. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. The absolute greatest possession we can acquire is not found in silver or gold or precious gems or even the stock market. The greatest treasure we can acquire is wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom that guides us through life. Wisdom that we receive when we put our trust in the Lord and acknowledge His ways above all else. There is nothing greater than God-given wisdom in our lives. And that has to be our mindset. That has to be our understanding. And please don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying your 401k or planning for the future or retirement, or I'm not saying those things are wrong. Those are all fine and well and good things to do. The point is, nothing is as valuable as God-given wisdom. And that we have to understand. We have to put it in its place of priority in our lives. If we're not pursuing wisdom, then we're pursuing things of lesser value. I understand that all of us inevitably are going to, at times, choose not to listen to our GPS, choose not to read that roadmap, and we're going to try to do things on our own, from our own limited knowledge and understanding. When that happens, don't be surprised when the Lord disciplines us, because that's what He does. Just like a parent disciplines a child, the Lord at times will discipline us, but it's for our own well-being that He does that, because He loves us, because He cares for us, because He wants the very best for us. We again are faced during that discipline with trusting the Lord, accepting the discipline we deserve and allowing it to change our lives. Either that, or we rebel and we run further and further away. Those are the two options. When the Lord does bring that discipline into our lives, we can accept it, trust in it, get back on the right course, or we can rebel from it and get further and further away from where He wants us to be. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Discipline doesn't come unless there's a reason for it to come, unless there's a correction that is necessary to make. Wisdom would tell us to accept that correction, change our current course, and get back on the right road to our destination. The discipline, if you will, is the guidance system or the correction at work in our lives. A wrong turn has been made, it's evident, and the Lord is giving us the wisdom we need to get back on track. If we listen, we can get back on track quickly and get back into the course that we need to take. If we choose not to, we're going to find ourselves way off course, needing to cover much greater ground before we can ever get back to that right road that we're supposed to be on. And it will likely take us through much more dangerous areas and situations until we heed and listen. God disciplines those that He loves. Don't get mad when the discipline comes. Listen to it and make the correction that needs to be made. Part of accepting that discipline comes in the form of confession, acknowledging that we've done wrong, that we are sinful people, that we are self-centered or self-reliant, whatever it is that has caused us to get off course to begin with. We are to confess that to the Lord. He will then give us the wisdom to get back on path. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. See, sin does its very best to drag us away from a wise relationship with the Lord. You might even say that sin is much the opposite of wisdom. It's much more in line with stupidity than it is with wisdom. To be freed from the hold of sin puts on us... If we are going to be freed from the hold of sin, we must acknowledge its existence on us and turn from it. That happens when we confess to the Lord and acknowledge the wrong that we have done. In our relationship with the Lord this morning, we've talked about our need to trust Him. We've talked about our need to acknowledge Him, to choose to walk where He calls us to walk, even if it doesn't make sense to us. We've talked about submitting to His discipline when it's necessary, knowing that it comes in the form of a course correction in our lives, that somehow when we've gotten off the road, He uses that to get us back on track. And confessing our sins when we know that we have blatantly disobeyed His direction in our lives. This morning we've looked at just this one relationship of a wise man, the relationship a wise man has with the Lord, who gives wisdom generously. Make no mistake, this is the most important relationship of a wise man. We're going to talk about some others, but this is the most important. This is the key relationship. And just as all of this relationship hinges on that trust that we spent time talking about this morning, all other relationships hinge on this particular relationship with the Lord. For a wise man to have successful relationships in his life, his relationship with the Lord must be first. Next week, we will take a look at some of those other relationships that can be found in a wise man's life. Lord, I come to you this morning and I thank you and I praise you for your blessings. God, I do thank you that we have the opportunity to ask you for wisdom. And that's what we do this morning as we close out this message. Lord, all over the nation, all over the world, there are people seeking wisdom. Some in just incredibly wrong things, incredibly wrong ways. Lord, but there are others, your children, those that believe in you, that hunger, that thirst for, that are seeking wisdom this morning in simple decisions, in key decisions in their lives. God, I pray for your wisdom to be poured out on your people today. I pray that you would give them the understanding, the knowledge that is necessary, but I pray that you would pour out wise choices and wise decisions all across your people today, Father God. Lord, help us to do what we've been called to do. Help us to trust you, to seek you, to acknowledge you, to believe in you even when things seem far off, to trust in you even though we don't have understanding of a situation. God, give us the wisdom we need today to bring you glory, honor, and praise. I ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and have a great week.